Good morning. The Lord is risen. Yeah, I caught you off guard, didn't I? Remember, in the early church, and the very, that was one of the things that they did a lot of times in their public worship, is reminding themselves that the Lord is risen. So they would say, "The Lord is risen." And what did everybody say? "He is risen indeed." Let's do it together now. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Yes. You know, and it's because He is risen that we are here. If it wasn't for the resurrection, there'd be no point. There'd be no reason for us to gather. There'd be no reason for us to celebrate that event. There'd be no reason for us to, there'd be no hope, because if He was risen, if He was not risen, then He's like any of the other so-called gods out there that had no power and no authority to change lives. But He has risen. And the hope of that resurrection is something that we need to never forget and always focus on and always realize that the real reason that we are here is because He is risen. He is risen. And He has given us that ability to have a life that is changed through the power of the risen Christ. And you know, when we look at the Old Testament, we look at all the things there, we've talked a lot about this on Wednesday nights, but that there's so much in the Old Testament that is a shadow of what was to come in the New Testament time. It was a picture. God had set all this up, and He gave us these glimpses and these things in which He said, in effect, this is what's going to happen down the road. This is what's going to happen, that I am going to send my Son. I'm going to send Him into the world. I'm going to send the perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I'm going to set up this whole system of sacrifice and all that to help you to begin to look forward to the coming of the Messiah, to the coming of the One who will give His life and will die on the cross for you and will set you free from the power of sin and death in your life. What a wonderful thing that is. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Okay. That was just extra. That really wasn't part of the sermon this morning, but that's okay. That's a good way to start. I've entitled today's message, Be Strong and of Good Courage. You ever feel discouraged? You ever feel like maybe things just aren't going the way that they should? You ever feel like maybe just throwing up your hands and saying, what's the use? Yet the Scripture is full of passages of Scripture where God tells us to be strong and of good courage. Not to focus upon those things that defeat us, on those things that put us down, on those things that keep us from being that God wants us to be. But rather to realize that God is always present with us, and He will walk with us, and He will take us through whatever it is that we're walking through. And He says, I will be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Can I have the first slide, please? In the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, we read, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. And as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as as far as the river, the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and have good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. If we put right there, that would be a lot, wouldn't it? That has so much in that passage that just reading it just really uplifts us and helps us to sense God's presence and to know that He is here. Have you ever noticed how quickly time goes by?
Yes.
There's one definite yes there, okay? It seems like just a short time ago that my wife and I, that we had four little kids running around our house, and the two youngest were twins named Daniel and Heather. Now Heather has four children running around her home, and two of them are twins, one named Michaela and one named Evan. Boy, how time flies. Just boom, and it goes. To Joshua, it must have seemed only yesterday that he had stood before Moses and the children of Israel, pleading with them, begging them, go possess the land. God has brought us here. God has given us this place. God has said, I will be with you. Now, go and do it. And yet for all his pleading and all his begging and all that he said to them, they did not go. You see, Moses had sent 10 spies into the land to look it out. They all came back, and as they came back, they said, it's a wonderful land. It has all kinds of good things in it. But there's giants in the land. There's giants in that land. They're stronger than we are. Why, as we looked at them, we appeared to be grasshoppers in their sight. That's how small we felt compared to them. There's no way that we are strong enough to go and possess the land and to do that God has asked us to do. And yet Joshua and Caleb stood up, the only two out of the 10 that said, but if God is with us, He's given us the land, let's go and possess it. We are strong enough, not in ourselves, not in our own abilities, not in our talents, not because we're stronger than those giants that you observe, but because God is with us. That is why we can possess the land. That is why we should go and do that God has asked us to do. And yet, and with all their pleading, And they didn't go. They said, we can't do this thing. We can't do it. Even though they reminded him, and give me the second slide, that he would be with them, they said, no, we can't do it. So what happened? They spent 40 years wandering around in the wilderness. They spent 40 years. God took care of them in many ways during that 40 years. You know, even when we mess up, God cares about us. And even when we find ourselves wandering in the wilderness out of His will, He still loves us and He still cares for us and He still reaches toward us and says, if you but come to me, I will be there. He had promised that He would be with them. If only the people had listened at that time, Moses would have brought them into this good land, and they would have been well established by this time. They would have been enjoying all the benefits that God had wanted them to have. But no, they'd said, we are not strong enough. We cannot possess this land. Well, now it was different. After all, 40 years had gone by. Those adults who had said, we cannot possess this land, were now dead and gone. Only Joshua and Caleb remained. Now Moses, their leader, had died. And it would have been easy for Joshua to have sank into despair and to have said, woe is me. You know, what am I going to do now? Wow. Moses is gone. And yet, God did not allow him to the time to wallow in his own self-pity or in his own desires. But God began to talk to him and began to tell him some things. You want to give me that next slide, please? And it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, and you and all this people to the land which I am giving to them, to the children of Israel. Now, let me paraphrase that. My paraphrase goes something like this. Moses is dead. Don't sit around and mourn for him. Get up and get going. You and all the people, go do what I wanted you to do 40 years ago. I am giving you everything that I had promised to Moses. Don't worry. I will be with you. If you don't get anything else out of what I say this morning, get a hold of that statement. I will be with you. Because in those four words is a power source that we sometimes forget. God has said and has promised, I will be with you. I guess that's four, maybe five words. Anyway, I put two of them together, but anyway. But God has said that. And God's promise does not change. God's promise is forever. And He said, I will be with you. Be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all of the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that you may prosper whatever you do, wherever you go. One of the problems that the Israelites had was they did not keep God's law many times. They would turn to the right hand or to the left hand. They would veer off course. They would set up other gods. They would do all these things. And though God was there, they lost Him. You know, I've seen this bumper sticker, and you've probably seen it too, where it says, you know, if God is far away, who moved? If God is far away, who moved? And that is such a true statement, because God wants to be with His people. God wants to dwell within us. He wants to empower us and give us the ability to do the things that He has called us to do. And He will be with us. And if He's not with us, then we have moved away from Him. He hasn't moved away from us. Do you have the fortitude to follow God when the way seems difficult? Can we trust Him and never turn from it to the right or the left? Do we truly believe that God will be with us and give us the courage we need when the way seems difficult? It would have been easy for Joshua to have said, "But Lord, that was then, and this is now." You know, I'm a lot older than I was then. I don't have the energy to take these people and lead them now. You know, I don't even know what's gone on in the land that I went into before. You know, maybe they've gotten stronger than they were then. I don't know. It would have been easy for him to begin to make excuses and said, you know, I can't really do this, but God said, I will be with you. And Joshua did not make those kind of excuses. No. He set out to do the task that God gave him to do. And his faith did not waver, nor did his strength falter, because God was with him. God was with him. Not only did God say, I will be with you, but God was with him. We do not automatically possess that kind of faith and strength. That is something that comes as we learn to walk with God, as we experience His faithfulness over time. You see, Joshua had been there when the children of Israel was led out of the land of Egypt. Joshua had been there when Pharaoh's army began to pursue, and when Pharaoh's army began to got in between, it was a rock and a hard place, between the sea and the army, and what were they to do? Joshua had seen the miracle that they did when on the Israeli side, that it stayed light and it got dark over here on the Egyptian side, and the wind blew and the water rolled back, and finally, by the time the Egyptians could see what was going on, there was a path right through the sea, and they went right through. The Israelites did, that is. But what happened when the Egyptians stepped in to go pursue them? The water came back. Joshua had experienced all these miraculous things, and so he knew from experience that the God that he served would take him to the end and would be there with him, no matter what circumstances arose. He had seen how God had provided for the people in the wilderness, even though they had turned away from him and did not fall in when he said, go possess the land. Yet God's hand was there. He provided for them over and over and over again. Can you imagine going 40 years with the same pair of shoes and not having them wear out? People love to hang on to their shoes and don't want to throw away because they're comfortable. Man, they had it made, didn't they? 40 years they walked through the wilderness and their shoes didn't even wear out. Man, talk about God being with them. That's just a small thing for God. But God was certainly with them. You see, Joshua's faith was deep. It went deep into his soul and he was ready to act upon God's direction. How about you? Do you trust God and take him at his word? Do you believe it when he assures you in his word that he will never leave you and never forsake you? You know, sometimes our emotions go up and down. Sometimes things are difficult. Sometimes we can't see very far out there. And there may be times when we say, God, where are you? But we can bank on it that he has not left us. That he is with us. That he is right there. In those difficult moments when we don't seem to feel his presence, that's when we need to say, God, I trust you. I know you are here. I may not feel it right at this moment, but I know you are here. Joshua had learned to trust in that way. Joshua wasn't the only one that has those kind of moments and those kind of things. In fact, you look at Joshua, you know, and you think, boy, did he ever doubt? Well, probably. You know, he was human. I'm sure he had his ups and downs and his moments of question and his moments of saying, God, where are you? And yet, he knew in his heart that God was there. The disciples struggled to understand these principles and these things. And Jesus spent time with them to help them to get a grasp on his greatness and his faithfulness. He extended to them the offer. Can I have the next slide, please? The offer to come and see. You see, when Jesus doesn't force us to do anything. You ever notice that? He didn't force us to do anything. But he gives us an invitation. He says, come. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn me. You know, and so all these things, he gives us the opportunity and the invitation. And he gave the invitation to the disciples to come and see. See who I am. See my power at work. See the things that I'm doing. Understand that I will be, that I am with you. So he gave them the invitation to come and see. And he promised to be with them. This gave them opportunity to experience his power and to be a part of his ministry. Like the feeding of the 5,000, we talked about that on Wednesday night because that was part of our study in John, wasn't it? We talked about that. I can kind of just visualize that whole scene. Here the disciples have gathered there, all the crowd is there, and Jesus says, you know, I don't want to send them away hungry, let's feed them. And everybody's scratching their head and they're looking around, looking at each other and saying, how are we going to do that? you know, has this guy lost his mind or what? You know, I mean, what? How in the world does he expect us to feed all these people? And so I can see him kind of going through the crowd and beginning to comb the crowd a little bit and saying, do you have any food with you? Do you have any food with you? Do you have any? Do you? You know, and finally, after they kind of went through the masses, they came up with how much? Somebody's been here on Wednesday night should know this. how much did they come up with? Yeah, back there. There, we got it. Two fish and five little barley loaves. And that's all they had. That's all they had. And they bring that to Jesus. Well, first of all, they tell him that it's there. And you know, in my mind's eye, I kind of think maybe they thought deep down in their heart that maybe if we tell him that that's all we got, that he'll get a little common sense here. He'll send the people away. You know, when he really realizes the dilemma we're in here. But what did Jesus say? Bring them to me. Bring those to me. And so they brought to him this little bit. And they watched him take what was terribly inadequate. What could not have fed more than one person and feed 5,000 on that hillside. And not only did he feed them, but they gathered up 12 baskets full of food that remained. You know, I don't know how big those baskets were, but it really doesn't matter, does it? What a miracle. What a miracle. To even have one basket full left would have been amazing. To even feed the 5,000 was amazing. But to have the abundance that was there and end up with 12 baskets full left over was beyond amazing. Sometimes I quit looking at my notes and then I lose where I'm at. You see, Jesus wanted them to understand the same principle that he had talked, that God had talked to Joshua about. Jesus wanted them to know that he was with them. And he wanted them to know that they didn't need to be discouraged and they didn't need to be frightened and that he would take care of the needs that were there. But he went on to teach them something else here. As he was dismissing the crowd, he said to the disciples, you go on over to the other side of the lake. So they got on the boat, and they took off, and he dismissed the crowd. And he went off on the mountain somewhere and spent a little time in prayer. And the disciples had no idea of what was going on. I believe Jesus knew all along. He knew what was going to happen. See, we don't catch God by surprise. He knows what's going on. And so the disciples, as they were out on the boat, all at once this storm blew in from nowhere, which I've been told in that part of the world that's not uncommon, that it can happen real quick on the sea there. But this terrible storm came in and the disciples were fearful of their very life. Jesus knew they were there. And He did an amazing thing. To them it was amazing. To him it was simple. He came walking across the water to them, to where the boat was. And to begin with, he said, they were frightened because they thought it was a ghost coming across the water there. You know, they'd never seen anybody walk across the water. There's a little story about that. These three pastors were going fishing together, and they were in this little boat, fishing boat, and one of them said, I'm hungry. I think I'll go get something to eat. And so he jumps out of the boat, and he walks across the water, and he gets something to eat and comes back, walks back across the water, gets in the boat. And the second one says, well, I'm hungry too. I think I'll go get something. He jumps out of the boat, he walks across the water, and comes back and gets back in the boat. They're sitting there eating. The third guy's getting really hungry. But he isn't sure about this walking across the water business, you know. So he's sitting there and he's saying, man, surely I got as much faith as they do. So finally he says, I think I'm hungry. I'm going to go get something to eat too. And he jumps out of the boat and he immediately sinks. They reach down, pull him in, and he sits there for a while. And he finally musters up the courage again. He says, I'm going to try it again. So he jumps out of the boat again, and down he goes again. And they pull him back in, and finally the first one looks at the second one and kind of winks a little. He says, shall we show him where the rocks are? But Jesus didn't need the rocks. He walked across the sea. And there he was. And, you know, as he approached the boat, Peter said, if it's really you, let me come to you. There's a lesson in that for us. Because when God calls us, there's nothing that should stop us from going to Him. Peter said, if it's really you, let me come to you. And Jesus said, okay, Peter, you come ahead. And Peter jumps out of that boat, not knowing where the rocks were. There weren't any. But he jumped out of the boat and started toward Jesus. And he was doing fine until he realized what he was doing. First of all, it's impossible for me to be walking on this water like this. I can't do that. Secondly, I'm not Jesus, so how in the world am I doing this? And he began to look at the water, began to doubt, and he began to sink. How many times in our life do we begin strong and begin to doubt? And we feel as if we're sinking. Ever been there? Ever done that? But you know what? Remember what God had said to Joshua? Be strong and very courageous, for I am with you. And Jesus reached out his hand. Peter said, Lord, help me. And Jesus reached out his hand and lifted him. And how many times do we need to just say, Lord, help me, and allow him to take us and lift us, and he has promised to be with us. These experiences, can I have the next slide, please? These experiences changed them from men of weakness to men of strength. From men that struggled to believe in him to men that would be firm in their faith no matter what the circumstances that they faced. The next slide. In Matthew 14:22 and 23, it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves from the wind, for the wind was contrary. I believe Jesus knew about that storm all along. He knew it was coming. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And when Peter stepped out of the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus. Peter was starting to put action with his faith. Jesus was changing his behavior a little bit at a time. As Peter began to grow in faith, he trusted more. He was not perfect in faith, but he was growing in faith. That's an encouragement. Are you perfect in faith? I'm not. But hopefully I'm growing in faith. And I'm moving toward that. And I'm allowing God to show me more and more of his greatness and of his love and of his mercy. And as I experience him more and more, I come to understand more and more that he will always be with me. But, going back to verse 30 there, it says, but when, it was talking about Peter, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to cry out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of low faith, why do you doubt?" And when they got back in, when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. When those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." That's the way God is. Whether you're a Joshua who has walked with God for many years and have learned through experience to trust him, knowing that he will always be there for you, or if you are like Peter and find all of this new and struggle to understand, and yet you desire to let God change you, Jesus will come to you in your moment of need and take you by the hand and lift you up. When the Holy Spirit has done its work in your life and mine, and when we have drawn deeply from the well of faith, placing our trust in the one who gave his life for us, when the storms of life come, he will speak peace to our troubled soul, and he will take us by the hand and lift us above the waves and strengthen our faith. Be strong and of good courage. God told Joshua, "For I am with you." These words are repeated in our lives over and over and over again. Can I have that last slide, please? Be strong and of good courage, for I am with you.